This hour of the Tom and Curley Show is brought to you by Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Bucky's Auto Service Centers, proud to bring you this upcoming hour of the Tom and Curley Show. Yes, I'm Tom Tangney. John Curley is away. He'll be back tomorrow. Gee, Scott, we're having a blast filling in. You're doing a double duty, Friday and a Monday, and then you've got your show tonight as well, Cairo Nights.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah, people texting me on my phone talking about, I think Tom should write a book. On what it's like to always be have so much joy.
Wow.
That's somebody texts me that on my cell phone. Like, people like you. In my circle,
yeah.
People love Tom Tang.
That's cool. I should show you some of my hate mail. But anyway, we're not here to bitch and moan. We're here to have a good time and talk some serious business. And one of the things, again, trying to maybe change the tone a bit, after these mass shootings a couple of weekends ago, there's been a lot of talk about what can legislatures do? What can Congress do? Right now, I think the Republicans in Congress who've managed to resist coming back, there's been social pressure on them to come back into session. They're on their August recess. I think the Republicans have successfully held off on that. But right now, it sounds like a version of what we call the ERPO in this state. It's basically the red flags law in 17 states. If you have serious evidence and grounds for being concerned about an individual's mental health, be either as a threat to himself or to someone else, and can convince a judge of that concern, the government allows you to take away that person's gun for a temporary amount of time. They think that the red flag or ERPO legislation is the thing that might have the best chance of getting through Congress. They're also looking at things like banning assault weapons, universal background checks, putting a check on high-capacity magazines. And there's an interesting article in Crosscut about, well, what are we doing here locally in Washington State? As I mentioned, we already passed the red flags law. And in general, gun control legislation in this state has been more successfully passed by initiative, by voters, than it is by the legislators themselves. The question is anything going to change given the recent shootings and the fact that now Democrats are in control of both the House and the Senate with a relatively healthy majority? Will we see any more gun control as opposed to gun rights legislation? The speculation is, now that we have a new Speaker of the House, it's Lori Jenkins from Tacoma, she is more apt to bring this gun bills to a vote. Frank Chop, for the longest time, probably because he thought it was politically questionable whether he could get it through with such a slim majority the Democrats had over the Republicans, if they did have a majority at all, that he was not quick to broach that subject on the floor, that maybe with this new speaker, there's been some serious speculation that maybe we can get one, if not both, of these ideas past the legislature. Gee, I don't know where you stand on any of these issues, like universal background checks, bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines. What do you think of the political perspective, prognosis on this? And is the NRA, at least in this state, something still to be feared?
Everything's a dance. Right.
Everything's a dance.
And my mind hasn't changed, Tom, since Sandy Hook. Right.
Okay.
Like I thought, and I don't like, and neither of us, nobody likes, it doesn't matter what side of the coin you're on, nobody likes to see the mass shootings that are occurring at a rapid rate in our country right now. But after Sandy Hook, after little kids dying in school and nothing happened during that time, that was the first time. So I've kind of gotten jaded towards all of this because I'm still waiting for something to happen. Next thing I wanted to talk about was the whole red flag thing, right?
Yeah.
Tom, the FBI doesn't even do a good job with the red flag. There was red flags for the shooter in Parkland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we don't, you know what I mean? Go ahead.
The thing is, no. I mean, I don't mean to stop you. The thing is that there are red flags, but again, the FBI, the cops, their hands are tied. Unless you have a law on the books that says this is okay, if we get a judge to approve of this, they had lots of contacts with him, but he never did anything that he could get arrested for, and he would need the family. Now, if I remember correctly, I think this Parkland, he wasn't even with his family. Hadn't he moved in with somebody else at the time? That you need to have family members and or I suppose maybe cops if they see it as a real serious threat rather than just a possibility. I think that you need the kind of legislation. Will it stop and catch all of them? Of course not. It probably won't catch, you know, 95% of them. But if we can stop 5% with these red flag laws, maybe that's a good thing. Go ahead.
And that's all right. And here in the state of Washington, you know, the 16, was it 1639? Am I saying I-1639? When that started to pass, and we saw what happened with that and how that right there in itself could be, I mean, that's had a tough time, you will. Like, it's something that I actually thought was going to be simple. One of my conservative buddies told me, look, G, you and I kind of agree on a few things, but let me explain to you and show me how the law that was put in place had some inconsistencies. And I did learn some of those things, like, all right. So here in the state of Washington, where, you know, you have a chance now for someone to speak up, I still don't think it's going to happen because I have learned so much about in the last 2 years about all of the gun and how much profit is being made off of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like the amount of money that billions of dollars is being made. And people, there's no reason that somebody should have a 100-round drum, Tom.
I know. But see, I think here's my idea because I am kind of I have been. And I've lived longer than you have. I just feel like gun control legislation it's been so hard to get even the crumbs off the table. But I think that we're putting the crumbs together. Eventually, we're going to have a corner of a slice of bread. I think out of this that I would think that we have to take advantage of any kind of public approval. Right now, there's something like 90% of Americans, including gun owners, have no problem with universal background checks. But the NRA has been such a strong, vocal resistor, and they've poured the money and energy into it. The people that are really into guns really feel like it's the, as John always says, it's the camel's nose under the tent. They're afraid, okay, yeah, maybe that's reasonable. Maybe we should exclude 100-round drum, you know, high-capacity magazines. But if we allow for that, then what's the next step? Well, I agree that philosophically, that can be seen as a concern, so they fight it every step of the way. The nice thing about this, I think, is that in this cross-cut analysis, they think that we will be able to, we, in terms of the legislature, will be able to get a high-capacity magazine ban through, but not the assault weapons ban through, because assault weapons, there's always the argument, John does this to me all the time, well, but how would you define an assault weapon? And so you end up defining it in such a way that you end up excluding just about anything that could be considered an assault weapon through a minor adjustment or the like. So at this point, it sounds like we're willing, the gun control advocates like me will maybe get half a loaf, and that we'll get the restrictions on high-capacity magazines, but not on the assault rifle.
Tom, you're going to probably think I sound negative, so I'm warning you. Okay. The train has left the station. And what I mean by that is what we used to argue about, excuse me, what I used to argue about is I used to say, all these gun laws need to be put in place, and gun laws this, and gun laws this. Yeah. What I'm going to say, you're not going to like. There is not a gun law that can be put in place right now that's going to stop these mass shootings. The train has left the station already. We are so behind as a country with mental health issues. We're so behind with the amount of guns that are in the United
already.
States. Already.
If no other gun was sold in the next 2 decades, we still have guns galore that we'll never run out of. Yes, absolutely. So G's solution is, hey, give up.
It's not give up. I just don't want my energy now today is different than what it used to be. For example, I am not going to sit here and argue about, and what is my opinion, waste time on the whole gun laws when I don't think that actual more gun laws are going to really going to help. Okay. So therefore, my mind is put on the resources into, hey, let's get people help. Hey, let's change the conversation. Hey, those type of things. But when we are still talking gun law, oh, I want my rights. I want my Second Amendment. All those type of things. We're arguing about that. Meanwhile, another shooting's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the part that I'm talking about. And like I said, I told you.
Yeah.
I was going to sound negative, and I apologize.
You're cramping my joy. You know that.
I know.
Fair
man.
Enough. No, I think that's good. I mean, they're easy. Okay, let's bring a little levity into
how come every time
show?
You always say, hey, wait, hold on. Am I bringing this show down a lot?
We are.
You keep saying, let's bring some levity.
It's not you. It's Jacob.
Oh.
The stories we're doing, we start out with Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, there's a laugh riot. Then we start off this show with gun massacres. No, this is just called pacing.
Are you going to talk Joe Biden?
We're
going to
talk Joe Biden. Yes. Okay.
This
so,
is painful too.
This is. I don't know. I know, but you got to be grinning. So listen, Joe Biden. I thought Joe Biden did the smartest thing he's ever done in his this is his third presidential campaign. Was this last one a few months ago where he says, "Hey, you know me, I'm a gaffe machine." That is the perfect protector. So anytime he makes a gaffe, a slip up, he go, yeah, you know, that's me. But it's not really important because I'm a serious guy and you all know me. Well, the problem is that these gaffes are starting to pile up because he's on the campaign trail more and more. And so people are getting a little concerned. Is this something we should be concerned about or not? I've got three quick clips from Joe Biden where he... I guess we'll just call them gaffes. Makes them sound like they're not that important. Here's one talking about the Parkland kids.
I watched what happened when the kids from Parkland marched up to, and I met with them, and then they went off to up on the hill when I was vice president. They went off the hill to go into those neighborhoods. All those congressmen were like, no, I'm not here. I'm not here. I don't tell them I'm around.
Okay, I feel like this is a game show. Spot the mistake. He wasn't VP when the Parkland kids talked to him. He may very well have talked to him, and that's the important thing. But still, that's the kind of slip-up you don't want to make. One slip, no big deal. How about this? Biden, again, this happens to every politician, but because Biden is known for this kind of stuff, this is the one that gets picked up. He's trying to make comparisons. You know, it's black or it's white. It's this or it's that. And then he ends up saying something that sounds like something Kellyanne Conway might say.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks, if you're interested, join me. I could use the help because we must defeat this president to change the trajectory of this country.
You know, that's a good dilemma. What do you prefer, truth or facts, G? Come down, one side or the other. Anyway.
Tom, I can't let you finish.
Okay.
No.
I only got one more.
All right.
One more,
man.
You should like this one.
All right.
Okay. So, again, he's doing this, you know, the kind of compare and contrast setup.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids. Black kids. Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
See, now there, he slipped up, and if you're not paying that close attention, I don't blame you if you didn't. You know, poor kids and white kids. And then here's my hope. He caught himself, you know, wealthy kids, and then he threw out black kids or Asian kids, and he realized he was, like, trying to cover. So anyway, three gaffes in a row. You're not a huge fan of Joe Biden's, I don't think, are you? Where do you stand on Joe Biden politically?
I can't stand it. I can't. No, hold on, Tom. No.
Tentatively broaching the subject.
By the way.
So why did you want to stop me?
I wanted to stop you because you promised the show that we were going to invite some levity to the show.
Truth over facts, that's a good smiler.
Tom.
Okay.
You like Joe?
I think Joe's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
You really think Joe is fine?
Like, I think Joe is fine.
Okay.
I think he should be president.
Okay. The gaffes that he makes,
yeah,
they don't bother you, man?
Yes, they do bother me.
They really bother me.
They really bother you.
They really bother
me. Why? Because none of those are important. Those are rhetorical slip-ups. The idea that, I mean, Gerald Ford, he stumbled once or twice, okay? And that became a running joke with Chevy Chase. Do we really think that impacts the kind of decisions he would make as president? No.
I know who Joe Biden is, man.
Yeah, who is he?
I encounter...
Is he a nincompoop? Does he not know what he's talking about?
Joe Biden is the... My sister married a black guy. What do you mean? That's Joe Biden. Biden is
generationally... let's just say he's not attuned to the contemporary generation. The thing is, would you prefer... Is Donald Trump? Donald Trump is in his 70s, just like Joe Biden. They're both out of touch about how people should act. But does that really impact how they're going to be president or not? That's all I would say.
I just, like, this is the same Joe Biden, right? This is the same Joe Biden. Go back to the crime bill. He bragged about that. He loved the crime bill.
Okay.
Tom, you're just giving him a pass,
no,
man.
I'm not giving him a pass.
This dude infuriates me.
I lived through that era, though. I know exactly what was happening politically.
I had family members that went to jail during that
era.
I know exactly
what was happening. And now we know, looking back in with 20-year hindsight, we can now see that the devastating impact that it had on the black community. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, hands down.
And black preachers were the ones that helped pass those things.
Exactly.
Taking money through the back door.
I know. So I think that it's not a pass. It's a historical reality that at the time, we white Americans and we black Americans, at least the ones who had the pulpit, the ones who had the power, thought this would be better for the country. In retrospect, it's not.
Hold on. I can't let you get away with that because the black pastors in the church, in the pulpit, they just thought what was better for their pocketbooks.
That's such a slam.
What do you mean that's such a slam, Tom?
Okay, so you think every black pastor who came out in support of this, thinking that we should crack down because it's not good to have a slack set of rules for the African-American community, they were all on the take. All of them? Come on.
You know why I'm – well, first of all, that's in general. Not all of them.
But most of them.
Okay. Yes. And why I'm saying that? Because it's easier to say years later, my dad, who was a cop, talked about this then. He talked about this kind of stuff. He talked about it happening right there. Because these crime bills that was happening, you start talking about the crack rock and automatic felonies. I had a cousin get caught with 5 crack rocks.
Yeah.
Man. 5 years in prison, Tom.
Yeah.
Five years
in prison. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Back to you. I don't want to get off topic.
Okay, yeah.
Joe Biden infuriates me. I don't like him.
Wow.
Not at all.
He has higher support in the black community than any of the other 23 Democratic candidates.
I know that. And if he does win the Democrat, remember I said
this. Let's get this on the record.
If Joe Biden wins the Democratic ticket, Trump is going to destroy him.
Wow.
He's going to destroy him.
That might not be up there in the level of Amanda Knox's The White OJ, but still, those are potent words that you're saying because you know that I think it was Donnie.
That's why Trump wants him to win. Trump wants him to win. The reason why all the polls are talking about, the African-American vote. He's got the African-American vote right there. Yeah. They want you to think that. The same folks that told you, hey, Hillary's winning all the polls. Hillary should win. Mm-mm, don't fall for the okey-doke.
I think the idea behind Joe Biden is that if you had to pick one person to go against Joe Biden, one other Democrat, I think it'd be a harder case to make. It's Joe Biden versus the field. Then you say yes, but I don't know if you can take one other person who's running who's a guaranteed lock to knock off Trump either, if that's your goal.
I think Joe Biden is fool's gold.
Okay.
I don't like Joe Biden.
I'm catching that, you know.
Obama's my friend.
Hey, he was good enough for Barack. Why isn't he good enough for G. Scott?
Barack, I already talked to Barack. Barack, you better not ever endorse that dude.
Stand it. Okay, well, even more levity coming your way with Rachel Bell.
Hey, coming up, no. Rachel Bell is coming in to talk about how the state of Washington has one of the cleanest bathrooms in the country. And I'm going to disagree with that. You guys listen to Tom and Curly.
Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom Tangney here, John Curly Way. He'll be back tomorrow. G. Scott filling in. And now, you know, Washington State's always in the running for best state, Seattle best city, best place to retire, best place to be young and single. And now it appears that we're in the running for best public restroom. So who better to bring that story to us than Rachel Bell, brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino.
I'm Rachel Bell, and welcome to Potty Talk. We had this little thing up, I guess a little like frame picture when I was a kid in the bathroom that I loved, and it was a bunch of cats throwing toilet paper around, and it said, "It's potty time." And I feel like that's what's about to happen here today.
That was the beginning of your punning.
That's right. That's right.
Was
punning in the bathroom.
That's right. We have some puns coming up in the story. So, yeah, every year, a company called Syntus, they're a business support company, they put on the America's Best Restroom Contest. And this year, the bathroom in SeaTac is up for this award. So they just redid the entire end gate, which is the one that you have to take the little train to. And I took a flight on Thursday, and I had just interviewed SeaTac spokesman Perry Cooper, and I was like, please let me get the end gate. Please let me. Because normally I hate having to get the end gate. I want to take the train, but I wanted to so bad and I didn't get it. But anyway, I can talk about that in a minute. So they just redid the whole North Satellite Terminal. It was the modernization project.
Yeah.
And so the end gate is what's up for this award.
Working on the puns here. We're flush with pride.
I am not going to toilet you beat me at these puns. All right. So in addition to...
Okay.
Did you get
Thank
that
you,
one?
Thank you, Rachel Bell.
Perry didn't get it at first. I had to explain it to him. So addition to all brand new bathrooms in the end gate, there are, let's see, new dining areas, a new Alaska Lounge, a nursing suite. But let's talk about this bathroom. So everything is touchless. It's automatic flush, water, soap, and hand dryers.
Well, I think one of the first things you see as you walk in is lights around the edges of tall standing mirrors. You've got much more light in and around the mirrors that are right in front of the sinks as well. The sinks are all one-piece quartz, which makes it look sleeker and more modern, not to mention it helps us clean them as well, too, because things don't get stuck in the cracks. There's more added space in each of the stalls, even to the point that there's actually baggage shelf behind the toilet fixture. So instead of having your bag right at your feet, you can actually put your bag up on a strong shelf right behind you.
With all the new lighting and the brightness and the white, is this an Instagram thing? Are you wanting people to take more pictures in the bathroom?
That might be an opportunity. I worry, you know, I don't want to necessarily encourage folks, as you know, you got to make sure what's in that mirror so you don't catch somebody else behind you. But who knows? That may be something that catches on.
Yeah, so the Portland Airport is known for their carpet, and then you'll be known for your bathroom selfies.
Maybe that's our next big thing.
So this is one of the oldest parts of the terminal. It's about 45 years old, and so they're updating it environmentally as well.
We are expecting to save about 750,000 gallons per year because the flush is going to be operated with rainwater that we collect off the roof from the North Satellite.
And so this is the new standard. They're going to slowly redo all the bathrooms to make it like this. I'm going to play one more cut because I didn't know this, that the N7 gate is a famous gate.
People may remember we had Sleepless in Seattle. A scene was shot there. That's where Meg Ryan's character was first seen by Tom Hanks' character as she came off the plane. Oddly enough, we had fanatics that would come out to the North Satellite just to take some pictures there at the N7 gate. And we actually did a little kind of goodbye to N7 a couple weeks ago when and even worked with the video company that still owns the rights to the movie and actually handed out even some DVDs in connection with that, too. It was kind of fun to see that. But N7 will be back again. It'll just look greatly different when it opens up again.
Oh,
it won't
no.
look like the movie anymore.
Okay. Who's buying those freaking Sleepless in Seattle nightgowns? Every time I go to the airport, it's that oversized nightgown with the pink sleeves that turn up with the 90s font. It's down to your ankles. You're never getting any in that nightgown. Who's buying this nightgown? It's so ugly.
The thing is, if you're not from Seattle, that's the only thing you know about Seattle is Sleepless in Seattle.
I guess so, but I feel like they could at least update it to a more modern nightgown.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was at the airport, and when he's telling me this, you know, like touchless water, touchless, I'm like, who cares? Like, you see that all over. I'm like, how is this modernizing? But I went to the airport, and in my terminal, actually, I think I used a couple terminals I like to get around. you have to touch everything in there. Like, you have to push the flush still. You have to, I think the water's automatic, but you have to touch the soap and the dryer. So I guess this is a really big update.
So do you think visually it's really what's startling about it, or is it more environmentally so, you know, wonderful that it's in the running? I mean, what is it that they're responding to, these award-winning designers?
Oh, okay. So I guess what they look at is cleanliness is a lot of it, and modernization seems
so
to be like
to clean,
two of the big
says,
things. Yeah. So the other people up for this award are a zoo, a museum, the Jupiter Next Hotel in Portland, and two other airports.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and in innovation, functionality, unique design elements.
As someone with a public restroom phobia, like I have problems with public restrooms in general.
Wow.
But hearing some of the things that Rachel Bell just said, I'm giving already thumbs up. Yes.
Really?
Two things stand out in what you said. One, the shelves on the back in the toilet area so you can put your suitcase. Phenomenal. Two, when they start talking about not having to touch the water, not get the water, that is phenomenal, fantastic. Every time, Rachel Bell, I'm in the airport, I gag at people just walking in and out with their suitcases in the bathroom. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Like if I don't have anyone with me or anything like that, and I have to, I'm just not going in there. I'm just gonna hold it because I don't want to bring my suitcase in there.
Because you think the germs, the suitcase attracts germs, or leaches germs?
I just think that there's just more. I don't want to get into the type of matter that gets floating around in the restroom.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Those are the thoughts that are on my mind during that time. Not to say that a regular airport floor isn't dirty.
Okay.
But especially more in there.
Okay, so here's my problem about these touchless things. I do. I think it's great. I can't tell you how many, because I was in four different airports over the weekend. You run your hand over it, under it. It does nothing.
I know.
It's just like if you just
you feel like you're
little,
a mime stuck in a box,
exactly.
Moving
like,
your hands
where's
around.
Where's the beam that I'm supposed to be hitting that's not coming out? So if they just had the little handles where I could turn it and I get it on, that's the one downside of it. But otherwise, I think it's probably looks fantastic. I'm all for the selfies.
I will go to the bathroom anywhere, but I think this is great too. I'm the opposite of you, G. Like I lived in Japan for a year, and there's still a lot of those toilets that you have to squat over, and I had a friend come and visit me, and she refused to use them. I'm like, what else are you gonna do? I mean, I've been in some situations, and I will go anywhere. Just honey, in Turkey, the same way.
Honey bucket included?
Oh, I went in one of the, what is this turning into, this segment? I used one of those over the weekend, too. Tell me where I can't pee. I've peed everywhere. It's like that Johnny Cash song, I've been everywhere, man. I've peed everywhere, man.
She's an outdoors type, don't you know? You did dig a shallow hole.
The only time I don't like the honey bucket is there's this trend right now, and I have a couple of them are the jumpsuits. And so when you have to use the restroom in a jumpsuit, you end up completely naked. You just take the whole thing down.
You get naked in the honey bucket?
And that's the only time this summer.
And she takes a selfie.
I was like, what am I doing with my life that I'm naked in a honey bucket? Like, this is the last place I want to be unclothed.
So, and how big a deal? Is Perry Cooper just beaming with pride, or is he kind of like...
Didn't you hear him? He's silly. Thrilled.
Yeah, you know, he's not.
I know.
But... I think he should be.
Yeah.
I think those are some exciting renovations on there. Again, I'm still excited about the suitcase rack on there. That's cool. Being able to take your suitcase, put it on top right there. Good.
Well, speaking of cleaning, we can move on to the next story from The Atlantic. Oh. It is about cleanfluencers. That is the word that they're using. This is a whole genre on YouTube and on Instagram, but in the U.S., it's mostly on YouTube, of people videotaping themselves cleaning their houses, and often they speed it up, and then you can watch this. They're just dressed in regular clothes that anyone would use to clean the house, but people are finding these videos very relaxing. Somehow there is like an element attached where people are saying, they talk about anxiety and depression, and that these are like cleaning helps them with that, and people who watch it find it to be relaxing, and also say when I can't control my life, or like the news is too bad, or bad things are happening in my family, I know that I can control the cleanliness of my house, and these people are influencing me to be cleaner.
But are they, or are people just vegging out, watching other people clean?
I think it's a little bit of both. There's a woman named Sophie Hinchliffe, and she goes by Mrs. Hinch, and she has more than 2 million Instagram followers, and she is one of the best-known cleanfluencers.
I'm fine with it.
This other woman said she was able to buy a 4,500 square foot house in Georgia thanks to the income she's generated being a cleanfluencer.
Well, it's one of those things like ASMR videos. You sort of scratch your head. Who watches this stuff?
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're popular with somebody.
We watch people cook.
Okay, so first up, we have to say goodbye.
Everybody say goodbye, Rachel. Where are your manners?
Thank you, Rachel Bell. And thank now...
I love that. You sounded like such a dad right then, like speaking to you a little. You got to say goodbye. Yeah. He waved.
Yeah, because Tom's such a nice guy.
Yeah, that's right.
I've learned that.
Full of joy. I don't know if you heard that either.
Thanks. Full of joy, my little neighbor.
Thanks, Rachel Bell. See you later on tonight.
Bye.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to be talking about... People are talking about flags, whether official or unofficial. We'll be discussing that next, bringing more levity to the show, as Tom says. You guys
scandal.
Are listening to Tom and Curly. I'm G. Scott filling in for Curly.
You're listening to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom Tangney here. G. Scott filling in for John Curly, who will be back tomorrow. Hey, make sure you text the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973, the Online Trading Academy text line, or go ahead and email us in the mynorthwest.com inbox. So this is kind of an odd story. Apparently there was some upset about how bland the official Seattle flag is. I don't remember you being too torn up about how bad our flag is. I don't remember us ever taking it on. But the Stranger, which is this, I find it a fun, you know, twice a week, it used to be a weekly kind of alternative newspaper, magazine, decided that we needed to come up with something better than the sort of the logo of Chief Self that was designed practically on the run, I guess, during the Goodwill Games back in the 90s when Ted Turner brought the Goodwill Games here. We sort of came up with an official flag because we didn't have one. And so the Stranger thought it would be a good idea to come up with an alternative, an unofficial Seattle flag. And they ran this contest, and it turned out to be something of a scandal. I don't know if you want do you have anything you want to say about the three versions? They ended up being something like 9 or 10 versions that readers put in, and they were just doing, it was clearly online balloting. When the balloting was done, kind of a goofy design was chosen. It was an orca. But it was kind of like a cartoon orca that looked like as much like a shark as anything else. And the runner-up was something called sort of like a geometric emerald. But there were some concerns because of the voting irregularities. It turns out that there was major ballot box stuffing, electronically and online. And so the Stranger had to go through this entire review, and they ended up chucking the number one and the number two winners. It turns out that the same guy had been somehow, through maybe a use of a bot, stuffing the ballot, and the two top winners were made by the same guy, and they gave it to the guy. Once they got rid of all the phony ballots, they gave it to the guy who came in seventh. Hallelujah, we now have the seventh place winner with probably 7 votes. It's a flag. I think the old one is perfectly fine by me. This is a kind of a flag that represents all the nice things about Seattle. There's a little mountain scene. There's a little water scene.
I blame
Finn. What do you think?
I blame Putin for all this.
Putin, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, we were wondering about why this is getting so much coverage. Jacob found it. This was covered by Fox. I assume, is this the national Fox.com?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Fox News website, yeah.
On the Fox News website, national story about the stupid alternative weeklies.
in all fairness, I'm
voting scandal.
Yes, and that's why it's a story. Like, when I read this story, and Jacob, good job finding this, when I read this story, that's what stands out to me, and that's the most interesting part about it. Like, one, like, man, you guys really wanted to win, huh? Like, y'all hijacking the ballot boxes?
Yeah.
That's one. Two, this whole thing, like, I don't care about the flags.
Yeah.
Like, Tom, I ain't gonna lie. If you told me right now, and on purpose, I decided not to even go look up what the flags look like because I wanted to be very truthful on this story as we talk about it.
Yeah.
Bruh, I couldn't tell you what that flag looked like. I can't tell you. And really, I don't care. And I don't think most people really care.
That's right.
This is what I believe about this flag thing.
Yeah.
I believe if you said, all right, those on the left want this flag and those on the right want this flag.
Go to it.
People on the right won't like the ones on the left, and people on the left won't like the ones on the right. That's what I think about this whole flag. Man, do you care about the flag?
Not one whit. In fact, I think it makes a lot of sense that until 1990, so I don't know how long we've been around as a city, 100 years, we never even bothered to come up with a flag. It wasn't until we realized, oh, cripes, if you've got the Goodwill Games, these international, you know, competition, and you could be advertising not only the state of Washington, but the city of Seattle, we got to come up with a flag. Shows you how important flags are, at least in city folks. So anyway, the scandal has been exposed, and the true winner is those who didn't bother paying attention to any of this, I suspect. I do recommend, I love The Stranger, especially for their endorsements. They are hilarious.
I like reading The Stranger. Hey, coming up in 11 o'clock hour, speaking of, did you bring up Pan Am Games on purpose? Because we're going to talk about the Pan Am Games, and we're going to find out just how much you pay attention. Because if you do, great. If you don't, great.
And I said Goodwill Games, but same diff.
Oh, all right. Tom and Curly, everybody.